Hello, and welcome to She Talk, the radio show making a difference in communication. So get in on the conversation. I'm Taomi Ray, your Shop Talk host. So let's talk jobs, careers, business, and finance.
Hey, hey, this is Taomi Ray, and welcome to yet another episode of Shop Talk, right here on She Talk Radio, the radio station making a difference in communication. So we need all of you to get in on the conversation. Yep, we're here today. We're back again yet on another Monday. We have a fabulous guest, a hardworking woman wearing multiple hats, Ms. Jasmine Johnson. Originally, Ms. Johnson's from Hollis, Queens, but she's currently residing in Prince George County, Maryland. Ms. Johnson's a 17-year veteran in the field of education. She's currently teaching high school full-time while also operating in a leadership capacity at the University of Phoenix. However, her most demanding job is that of being a mother to an active and happy four-year-old. Boy, I cannot wait to get into this interview. You guys that have tuned in, we appreciate you. We're going to take our commercial break. So our topic today is how single moms make it work. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. I'll see you soon.
Hello, this is Ruby Johnson, the Lady Tuesday of She Talk Radio and Television. And as you know, I speak out against domestic violence on my show. Well, I've been given this privilege on another platform. I will be the guest speaker at the 3rd Annual Celebrity Purple Raindrops and Masquerade Ball. This event will benefit and honor domestic violence victims and survivors. Come out and show your support on October 15th at 6:30 p.m. at the Cleveland L. Dennard Conference. Let's be a symphony of voices against the violence.
Do you have your own radio show or aspire to have your own? Legacy Radio Network has opportunities for you to host your own show and to broaden your audience. Like us on Facebook and get connected to the legacy.
She Talk Radio and Television is giving our young ladies a voice to discuss topics of interest to them. The international search is on. She Talk seeks Girl Talk intern hosts from 11 to 25. For details, email girltalk@shetalkradio.com. We're taking submissions now.
Are you looking for a wholesome cultural event for the whole family on a Friday night? Then you need to check out the Spoken Word Experience at Kingdom Cafe, located at 2610 Jefferson Street. This event is every fourth Friday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's an open mic event. No cover charge. Just patronize the restaurant. We need spoken word artists, singers, and even comedians. The next event is Friday, August the 26th. For more information, you can reach out to Taomi Ray at www.facebook.com/Taomi3000. Again, that's www.facebook.com/Taomi3000.
Hello, this is Ruby Johnson, the Lady Tuesday and host of the Real Talk segment of She Talk Radio and Television. I want to encourage you all to tune in every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. All you have to do is call 713-955-0481. Or you could listen on any mobile device at blogtalkradio.com/SheTalkRadio. Get in on the conversation and let's get real.
Welcome back. You've been listening to the Shop Talk segment of She Talk Radio with Taomi Ray.
Yes, and we are back. So I hope everyone that's tuned in on this Monday evening got an opportunity to hear those great commercials and govern yourselves accordingly. Again, if you want to call in to this segment and chime in or add a comment or whatever you need to do, express yourself. The number is 713-955-0481. Again, that's 713-955-0481. But we are in the building with Miss Jasmine Johnson. Yes, she is with us, a 17-year veteran. Thank you for showing up and taking your time to speak with us on this Monday evening, Miss Johnson. I'm going to go into first question number one. Yes. Okay. Tell us a little bit. Now, I've been knowing you for a long time, and we have been
yes,
in touch off and on for over a decade, by all means.
Yes,
and I know you have done some phenomenal things just as a woman.
Thank
and
you.
I mean, out there, you know, moving from different states, making it happen. So the audience that's listening tonight, well, it's a bunch of women. Sometimes it's men listening too, but ultimately our audience is to help and empower women. So we want to let women know, how is it possible? Tell us a little bit about your background and some of the accomplishments that you have in the professional world.
Well, first and foremost, Taylor, let me just say it is an absolute pleasure to be with you this evening. Well, of course, I'm not actually with you, but to be on the show, so allow me to thank you and all the women like you who are making it happen so that we can actually move forward in our society, because that's exactly what we need. So let me just thank you again. For me personally, I guess my main accomplishment stemmed from what I grew up with. And growing up with my mother, who I saw make things happen over and over again, and it seemed like she constantly made something out of nothing, okay, repeatedly, that was what gave me that drive to do all that I have to do even better. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so now I'm doing the same thing for my little one. But my accomplishments, again, academically, stem from wanting to get out of my neighborhood, from the yearning I had to not have to struggle from dollar to dollar and paycheck to paycheck, to actually be able to provide for my family when that time came. And if it was just me, then to be able to provide for me, because that was so essential, hearing that from my single black mother, who would constantly tell me, if there's nobody else around, you have to make it happen for you. And that was really what motivated me.
Oh, that's awesome. That's the stuff that we're looking to hear, because do you know, and you and I are both educators in the high school arena, we know young girls who tend to feel like their mother doesn't know what she's talking about. You've run across them on more than one occasion.
Absolutely.
There are these attitudes or these mentalities that would suggest that, well, you know, I'm going to do what I want to. But when we find we listen to the words of what our mothers said to us, or when we go in the shadow of what that strong, hard-working black woman, what she
That's
did,
right.
we do what she did, we do find that, you know what, it kind of works. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When you go ahead and never decide to give up, don't ever give up, even if it's just you.
That's right.
You get lonely, you go through different things, yes, yes. But we have these role models. We have these other queens that walked before us, that showed us some things. And I'm just so honored again to just know you, because, as I said, you know, I'm in the South. I did live in New York. My sister was born in upstate, and I have relatives in Pittsburgh. But I'm a Southern girl, ultimately. But to know you and to be able to relate to your energy, it was very pleasing. Mm-hmm. When I first met you, I just felt like,
She
seems to be on the grind, on the right page with things. And and these are the kinds of people that we want to be exposed to the world. You know, the opportunity came to me to be able to be the host of this segment. I'm so thankful to shout out Ruby Johnson and She Talk Radio, which that stands for self-help and empowerment talk. Yep, women just aren't just out here talking. We're actually trying to help and empower. I've been asked to find some women, you know, who fit the category, who can speak on issues relating to work and making work something that it's not just we don't enjoy it, because you and I have been in this game 17 years. That's a long
time. That's
right.
That's right.
And,
yes,
you
it
know,
is.
In the
yes,
day that
is.
People quit a job in 6 months. So give us a little bit more. Yeah, we be hanging on in there. So with that being said, you also do this work at the University of Phoenix, because outside of being a school teacher, you know, you go in and clock in the public school system of Maryland where you live, but you also do something additional. You clock in at a whole nother place, and you're in a leadership position. Tell us a little bit about that leadership situation over there at the University of Phoenix.
Absolutely. It's a real exciting opportunity, and I've been with the University of Phoenix now for nearly 10 years. After earning my master's in education, and more specifically secondary education with a concentration in history, I started teaching online. And so I started teaching these graduate-level courses online with the University of Phoenix. And I enjoyed the coursework so much that the opportunity to become a site supervisor was presented to me. And what that entails is actually taking some of those students that I worked with anyway online, being able to meet them face-to-face, going into their classrooms where they're now student teaching, and acting as a mentor and also acting as an evaluator, because it's based on my recommendation as to whether or not they complete their coursework successfully, or I can recommend that they actually revisit a few courses and maybe revisit some strategies or resources that might be useful. And so that empowered me in a way that I cannot tell you. Being a teacher in a classroom is magnificent. And there's surely, as you can attest to, there's surely nothing like it. However, working with the University of Phoenix, it's that sense I have to decide, look, you may want to take some more time to consider, is this what you want? Because you know, once you're in there, you are in the trenches. You really are. You're that first line of defense against whatever may come. And so as that teacher, sometimes you see things. And I know that you've been a mentor as well. You mentored the first-year teachers, and I think we kind of all do, whether we do it, you know, purposely or not. But we all kind of offer our two cents when we see someone who's just coming in the field. And I love the opportunity that I have to say, look, I really want you to take some more time to consider it, because as a veteran, it's tough. But then there's also the opportunities I have to see that shining light, and I know that there's nothing I could say that would keep that person from education, nor do I want to, but I certainly don't want to stifle them. And so I get to see firsthand this newcomer who is about to make a brand new career for themselves and just step into something that they really don't know what it is until they're in the midst of it. And so I absolutely love being with the University of Phoenix, and I hope for a long time.
I mean, you are just
pleasurable.
You are so inspiring in that, because I can remember you and I both came into the field kind of at the turn of the century, you know. That makes us sound so old, but it's the truth. We both kind of came in the early 2000s, and the concept of virtual learning or distance education or online platforms, that was, you know, sort of almost like outer space type stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It was kind of happening, but it wasn't widespread. And for you to have made your way, You understand what I'm saying? You started out just teaching classes. That's what it sounds like you explained to us.
I did.
And you worked your way up, and people began to recognize your skill set. They began to recognize your talent, your ability to maintain and manage what you had been presented with. And look at how a leadership opportunity presented itself. That is amazing. And that's the message of this particular segment, Shop Talk. I try to get everyone who's listening into the whole mind frame of don't just miss it because it's maybe not that much money, or because, you know, your salary working for the school system is probably more than what you were making doing those online classes. But you got involved anyway, and you took that on, and all of a sudden here comes this opportunity for you to expand. So we keep trying to make sure that people are aware of opportunities. They're all around. Yes. They are all around. If you're willing to go ahead and take a risk or do something that maybe you haven't done before, or maybe something that not a lot of people have done before, but you'll do it anyway, see how that works out. That is a beautiful thing. And you get to, because you have such a vast amount of experience out here in the trenches, not 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, but this is a lot of years that you've been going in and out in different states. That's why I brag on you so much, because you've seen the northern section of the country, the East Coast. You've been to the South. You know, you and I took a nice little trip to Vegas one time. We was out there on the West Coast looking cute.
Yes, we did.
Well,
what happened stay there.
But it's a beautiful thing to be well traveled. You know what I'm saying? Because you get an opportunity to see what else is happening in the world and what other people are doing. That's why I stay connected to you, because it's good to know that, okay, you're having some of the same struggles that I'm having all the way down here in the South. Students are stubborn and bullheaded, and college students are still uncertain and needing guidance. They're still needing it. From Alabama in Mississippi all the way to Boston, Massachusetts, students are still needing guidance. And that's why the field of education is very special to me. The audience may feel like you're you're biased. You always have educators on. Not really. I have different people. I've had politicians and you know, people who work in the automotive industry. But, yes, I'm an educator, so I know how hard that work is. So
that's
those things that you shared with us, man, that's amazing, you know, that you've been able to be in that leadership capacity and kind of mentor those students. So tell me this, as you were moving up in this position of leadership as a woman, do you feel like there was ever any opposition, or was there ever a time that possibly you weren't taken seriously just because you are a woman?
You know, I have to say, and I can understand why you'd ask that question, but on the flip side, when in education, and you know, it is predominantly women. So for the most part, most of my superiors, most of my supervisors were, in fact, women. They could identify with when I had to take a leave of absence because I was, you know, preparing to go out and give birth. They were really able to recognize my same sentiment, and they empathize with me in that regard. So I haven't really had any opposition. I haven't had that glass ceiling, as they say, at least not at this point, because most of the people I've had to work with or work directly under have, in fact, been female. And in some cases, some were single, right? Some, of course, were doing the married woman thing, and I give all power to that. But either way, single or married, it is hard because you're pulling off that full-time job simultaneously with the full-time job you have at home.
Absolutely.
So fortunately, no, I haven't had the opposition, and I'm very, very appreciative of that because I imagine how hard it can be at times for women like myself.
Yes. Well, that's exactly why I asked you that, and another reason why I'm kind of piggybacking off of why I like to have educators on this show.
Absolutely.
Because that is a field that is friendly to women. The field of education,
it is
friendly to women. It is dominated by women in most cases. I had a politician that was on my show one time, and that is a field that 90% of the people are white men over 60 years old. And you know, this is a black woman who was able, bold enough to come onto the show and share her experiences. And that's what I try to do. I try to mix it up enough to let it be known that there are some situations out there. So even with saying that, before we get ready to go to a commercial break, because I'm so happy that for people to know that, hey, this is a field that if you're not sure where you're going, you're not sure what you need to do as a woman, there are some glass ceilings out there. Yes, there are.
Absolutely.
But there are in some situations, they're more prevalent than others. So with the field of education, we tend to find that niche where we can kind of, you know, build ourselves. But I'll say this, because you and I have both experienced this also. You know how we have to deal with male? We have to teach them sometimes. Sometimes we are their supervising teacher. I had a student teacher who was a male who really did have an ego problem. He was older than me, and he was a male, but he had come from a different career. And so as he was coming up under my supervision, I was trying to make him prepare to go into the field of education. It doesn't matter that you were in corporate America for 10 years. You have never been a teacher.
Right.
So I was trying to prepare that gentleman. Yes. I was trying to prepare that gentleman for that, and there was some opposition, you know. So before we go to the commercial break, give us one good example of, have you had opposition with maybe a male student or someone that might not have really wanted to take to heed to what you had to say because you are a female?
Girl, I don't want to take up too much time on your show, but I'll share just one.
Give us 1 minute. Give us one minute, and then we'll come back.
I'm going
we'll come
be
back
really
and
quick.
You'll finish the story.
Yes, ma'am. Just really quickly, there was a Caucasian student that I experienced working with when I was in North Carolina. I won't say what part, but I was in northeastern North Carolina, and it was predominantly white for the most part, and it was still very Confederate-like, okay, if I can just say that. And I say that to say that I had an issue with not only the child, but the child's friends, who all gathered together and really wanted to stand behind one another, as well as their parents. And there was an issue with why they should listen to me, the black young teacher, because this was about 15 years ago. And so that was certainly something that it was difficult for me to tackle, because my parents should be my biggest supporters. And I felt as though I was literally on the offensive.
Attacked.
I was constantly being attacked. Exactly. Exactly. Because it was questioned, how could I know so much as this black woman from New York City? How could she?
Come on now.
Right.
I want you to pause
that
there.
Okay.
We cannot fail to tell that story. See how that's powerful right there? So before we take this good commercial break, I want to thank Miss Jasmine for just taking her time out to be
here.
I know Mr. Jackson is over there. We want to say hello to Mr. Jackson if he can hear us. We love him. But we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to get back into this story about this city teacher that came to the South and who couldn't get respect. I want to know about it, okay? So you guys need to stay tuned because I know you want to know about it too. So we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be right back. See you soon.
She Talk Radio and Television is a show created, produced, and hosted by women for women. We are now on Monday through Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. So don't miss your daily dose of She Talk. Call 713-955-0481 or listen at blogtalkradio.com/SheTalkRadio to get in on the conversation.
Do you know a young person between the ages of 8 and 27 doing great things in the community? Do you think they deserve an award? Why not nominate them for the National Youth Activist Award? Get connected with a community-based organization that has hosted several positive community events across the nation, such as Man Up Against Bullying and Beauty Behind Bars. The annual Youth Activist Awards will be held on Friday, March 27th, 2017, at the Omni Hotel in Nashville, Tennessee. For more information, reach out to the founder, Tiffany Love Harden, at www.manupagainstbullying.org. Again, that's www.manupagainstbullying.org. Welcome back. You've been listening to the Shop Talk segment of She Talk Radio with Taomi Ray.
Yes, we are back. Hope you got a chance to hear those commercials. Make sure that you reach out to the manupagainstbullying.org website. By all means, I shout out all of my great women that are wonderful and phenomenally in the world and in the doing great work. All the people that had commercials are people that were doing things, doing great things. So that's why we have this show and why we have these commercials. So we want to get back into Miss Jasmine Johnson, though, telling us about how she came from New York City to the South. Bless her heart. She came to the South, y'all. And yes, that's exactly what I wanted to kind of hear, so that people who are feeling some type of way about, well, what about if there's this or if there's that, you can survive. Yes, you can, no matter what has happened, whatever is in you, okay, that greatness, it's going to show through. So tell us what happened about this city queen that came down to North Carolina and people were trying to talk mess to you. Tell us about it, Ms. Johnson.
Absolutely. Well, I was accustomed to some people who I would identify with as being my own types of people, you know, black people. I was accustomed to them looking at me a little bit sideways because I may have spoken differently, right? My accent's a bit different. I didn't dress quite like they did. So I was accustomed to that. But to be in my classroom, my place of business, my livelihood, to actually be on my job and have a parent attempt to downgrade me because they questioned my level of education. They questioned whether or not I was certified, okay? And by this point in my career, it might have been about 3 years, 2 or 3 years in, but I was already certified in the state of North Carolina. I was already considered highly qualified under No Child Left Behind with President Bush, which I know you're familiar with. And so I was ready to go toe-to-toe. But you know what, Naomi? I had to pull myself back and say, I didn't have to prove anything. Because in our line of work in education, I can't just haphazardly walk up and get the job without actually being qualified, without having my credentials, which speak for themselves. And so I suggested to that parent, who was quite disgruntled, and I really believed it was because of my race. Now, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I couldn't find another reason as to why there was such a confrontation. I chastised your child. And your child had to deal with the consequence because that's what I do to every child in my room. There are no favorites. And so upon dealing with that situation, I took it to my administrator, and I asked that my administrator actually sit in and mediate. And that's how we were able to find some resolution. Ultimately, you know that father apologized to me?
He did.
He did come out and say, you know, it's just you're so young. You're so young. Well, I'm sorry, sir. Not everyone goes into teaching at 50. Right? If I choose to start at 21, shouldn't that be my prerogative? And so there have been some hiccups along the way, but I agree with you wholeheartedly, sister, when you say that we have to work through those adversities, because that's what truly shows your greatness.
Yes. That is a beautiful, that's a beautiful testimony. Because, yeah, that is what the basis of, again, this show, the self-help empowerment, where we're going ahead and opening up ourselves and sharing with people the adversities that we have had to overcome. Because, as you said, it is totally not easy. It is not easy being a mother. It is not easy being a professional. It is not easy being a woman. And when we are doing all of those things simultaneously, it almost makes us look like superwomen. When we come out as magnificent as we do sometimes, with our hair still intact and our outfits, no matter what, we're almost 40 years old, we are still fabulous. Yes, ma'am, we are. I am so just honored. But we got to move into this second question. I totally wanted everybody to hear that story. The next thing, we're going to move into the mouthpiece. Because again, you know, we got the professional hats. We went to the universities, multiple, we've got degrees from more than one institution, and we are proud to say that, and we look good when we sit behind our desks and when we are in our leadership positions, we look good, but when we go home, yes, it's someone's diaper that needs to be changed, it's someone's soccer game that we have to attend, there's a recital that has to be prepared for, there's dinner that must be taken care of. So tell us a little bit about.
Please don't forget the laundry.
There you go. That's number one on the list. before everything else happens, we got to be clean. Yes, ma'am.
That's right.
We got some challenges. Give us just two quick serious challenges that you've overcome while being a single mother. Let me give a good example, because I know there's some women out there that are struggling with this very same thing. If at any point in time you struggle trying to get assistance from the father, maybe in child support or just moral support, tell us about how you overcame that or how you ended up managing that situation and any other challenge as just a mother that you can give us some advice for the people who are listening. Tell us how you were able to make this work, Ms. Johnson.
Well, if you would like me to speak to the financial assistance piece from my ex, then I would definitely say that wasn't as challenging. It really wasn't, because I was fortunate in that my ex volunteered to go down to the courts and put himself. However, I didn't anticipate that, because I thought we were better than that. So it was a challenge, but not in the way that some may seem. I wasn't the one who filed the paperwork. I wasn't disgruntled and angry. We knew it was done. Everybody knew that. Mm-hmm. And yet, and still, to make sure that I guess I didn't penalize him later, he figured he would, have one up on me and go ahead and take care of it through the court. So I did resent that, because that's time off of work. That I had no idea how this whole support system worked. And I'm speaking in code, because my little one is all here and all ears right now. So I'm going to try to keep it for the adult. I resented having to go to court. I resented having to take time off of my job to deal with issues that I thought we could deal with. We shared a bed. We shared a household. And this is what you choose to do to someone you shared a life with, essentially. But, we don't always see things eye to eye. That's a part of being a grown-up. And it just kind of is what it is. But, I I'm thankful, because what I'm receiving is more than what I asked for. So thank you, buddy, because, that was because he chose to do it. And that's fine by me. But, fortunately, that wasn't one of my bigger issues, because the money does come in. It's regular, fortunately. And so I don't have an issue there. If I may speak to one of my bigger issues, which I think some mothers may deal with, you're a professional. You're a professional. In addition to being somebody's mother, which for me was brand new, because, I was excited when I was going through it, and I didn't know how I was going to handle this, but here I am. But what I had to learn how to do was not take away from who I was before being somebody's mom. I've always been Jasmine, and it's not fair not to be Jasmine, because your kids need you to be who you are. Otherwise, if you're not yourself, you're no good to them. You're no good to you.
Right.
So I still wanted to be social. Now, can I be as social as I like? And you forgot about our Miami trip. I'm not going to bring that up. I'm just going to say we took a couple of trips, okay? But,
yes, ma'am.
So are we doing trips as often? Of course not, right? That we don't have that liberty to do that anymore because my first place is home. And because I've wanted this job for some time, I honor this job because I know not everyone's chosen to do what it is we do. So this is my first full-time job, but trying to balance that social life, telling yourself that, hey, it's okay to go ahead and get a babysitter when you think you need a day out. It's okay.
Yeah.
Don't beat yourself up because you didn't finish the laundry tonight. There's tomorrow, Lord willing. There's another day. So we can't always get everything done, but you have to find that healthy balance or you will surely destroy yourself. And it's not fair. It's not fair. Mm-hmm. Your life doesn't end when you become a mom. It's a new chapter, but it's not over.
Yes.
So we just have to grapple with ways for you, because what works for one may not work for the other. But find what works for you. So those were some issues that I did have to deal with.
Oh, my God. Right before we go to this next commercial break, we just want to really quick, because I know you got to make sure you get back to some of your other duties. We are so
I'm about to make dinner right now, girl.
Yes, I figured that was on the agenda. So I want you to quickly tell everybody how, because this was fabulous, and all the information was just wonderful. And I'm going to do a good close-up wrap-up for you when you get able to head off. But tell us how we can reach you. If somebody wants to go to the University of Phoenix, they want to enroll or something, or they want to get some information, how could they contact you or get some more information about the work that you do for that institution? Just shout that out real quick, and then we'll move to another break.
Absolutely. Well, probably the easiest way would be, in fact, to go online to universityphoenix.com. You could also go ahead and take a look at the apollogroup.com, which is a subsidiary of the University of Phoenix. But if you have more questions, maybe more intimate questions dealing with perhaps how your credits would transfer or the programs and how you might align with the university, and you'd like to speak to someone one-on-one without getting some kind of automated message or waiting for feedback from someone behind a computer, please feel free to email me. And if I can give out my email address, I'd love to do so. It's going to be my first name. My first name, Jasmine, Jasmine, Johnson, Johnson, @ theuniversityofphoenix.org. Okay, so again, it's Jasmine.Johnson @universityofphoenix.org. And I'd love to answer any email that someone may have. Just starting out and considering a bachelor's degree, but you're a working mom and you're nervous, you have to step out there and take that leap of faith, because that's what it starts with, that one step. And for a lot of us, college really is that opportunity that can open that next door to that next chapter. So I welcome all types of communication. I appreciate you again for all that you do in the Black community. I know that you're very active in many ways. I look forward to your next book.
Thank you.
I really appreciate this opportunity, and I look forward to any communication that your listeners may have. It's been an absolute pleasure, Naomi.
Oh, well, thank you, Miss Jasmine. But we're going to take a commercial break, and you guys don't forget everything that she told you. And trust me, please listen to the link. It'll be posted on She Talk Radio, the blog site, the website, Facebook, Twitter, as well as Taomi 3000, the Facebook page. We're going to a break. We'll see you soon. Don't go anywhere.
Four women share the buck-naked truth to the world and free themselves of the burden and the bondage that well-kept, deep, dark secrets create. She Talk Radio presents The Buck Naked Truth every first Sunday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss a show, and please tell a friend.
Singers, producers, rappers, and spoken word artists, get your 15 minutes of fame on She Talk Radio, the radio show creating the right place and time for indie artists. Contact us at music@shetalkradio.com.
Welcome back. You've been listening to the Shop Talk segment of She Talk Radio with Taomi Ray.
Yes, we are so glad that you guys were listening on this evening. Miss Johnson might have had to take a step away. If she has done that, we want the whole audience out there to just silently at your house snap your fingers for hard-working women. Oh, still here. But at any rate, whenever I'm making the closing remarks now. We do have another segment. We want to let everyone know that don't go anywhere. Even at 7:15, when I get through talking, there's going to be an independent artist that's going to knock your socks off. So that's the other piece that happens with She Talk Radio. We often spotlight the independent artists, those artists that are out there on the grind that may or may not have record deals at this point in time. We give them a platform to be able to share their art with us, and we only deal with people who are about empowerment. We don't deal with foolishness. We don't deal with nonsense. We are queens, and that's the way we operate here on She Talk. Every segment, it's Monday through Friday. If you hadn't already gotten aware and paid attention, we are here, and we're probably not going anywhere. And I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I'm shouting out all of the people who are connected to me and doing great things, from Tiffany Love Harden with the Man Up Against Bullying and Beauty Behind Bars to the Kingdom Cafe with Fairfield Baptist Church and Pastor Howard Jones, and even C.C. Whiteside Curry, who's working as a delegate for the Democratic Party out here trying to make sure that as Election Day is coming near and dear to us, that we are there and that we're aware of what's going on in the world around us. But we thank everyone for tuning in and for listening. And as Ms. Johnson had mentioned, the way you can get in touch with me, your host here, obviously you can come on to the She Talk Radio Facebook page or just be a follower on the blog site, the Blog Talk site. But you can also get in touch with me on Facebook at facebook.com/Taomi3000. You can do that, and you can see all the products that I have available. I have 6 books now. I'm at 6 books. So if you'd like to purchase something on Amazon Prime, it'll get to you in 2-3 days. You know, there are different things there that you can peruse. I'm a spoken word artist outside of being an educator. So that's your thing, and you want to enlighten yourself through spoken word and poetry. I have those products, but every woman that I am connected to, they are doing great things. They're having events. They are business leaders, and they are people who are organizing events in the community, and they are mothers who have a vast wealth of knowledge, of advice for, you know, being just a mom. I mean, this is my first time go around having a college student. So, you know, I have a 16-year-old and an 18-year-old. My 18-year-old is his freshman year in college right now, and this is totally brand new for me. I thought having a 4-year-old was difficult. I did when I was at that point. But to get somebody into college and be scared that, oh, I hope he's going to pass. I hope he doesn't lose his financial aid. He's got some scholarship money that he earned for himself. So, you know, we as women have a multiplicity of issues and things that we're trying to do to make it work. Whether you are a single mom, whether you are a married mom, whether you are a working mom, if you are a woman, period, under the sound of my voice, you know that it's difficult being a woman. But She Talk Radio, we're here for you. We are here to provide you a Monday evening daily dose of empowerment and help and talk. Women love to talk. But, again, what we're talking about, it is so important that we keep the important issues at the top of the agenda. And everything that Ms. Ruby Johnson and all the great other fabulous hosts, there are 5 other hosts from Calliope Ray and Parrish, and there's a Girl Talk segment. There's all these segments, Monday through Friday, there's a segment on. So if you are not connected to the She Talk Revolution, you need to find yourself getting connected, getting in on the conversation, because we're trying to make a difference out here. So I just want to say again to our guest, Ms. Jasmine, who, whether she has stepped away or if she's still listening, we just want her to know that we appreciate her taking her time out, you know, from her son in her busy day to come and speak with us on this evening. And for every guest that has come out to speak with us, we thank you. We appreciate you. We appreciate the audience for listening. And if anybody, you know, wanted to call in. You know, we still got some time here before we transition. You can call 713-955-0481. That's 713-955-0481. And even after we transition from here, when we go into the indie artist spotlight, you know, you can call in to make a comment on that if you want to. That number is going to work for you. So we thank you all for just listening and being a part of what it is that we're trying to do. And keep supporting us. Keep supporting us as we go and cover events, as we provide media coverage to show shed light on different issues, domestic violence. That's a huge issue that She Talk Radio, we've got some people out there. We've got some people on the ground, boots on the ground, actually going to cover an event that's going to deal with that. And, I mean, you know, I'm a domestic violence survivor. So, you know, I was in a relationship for 10 years, totally battered and quiet and silent, and I had to break free. So, you know, I'm thankful that I was able to survive it, you know, and live to tell the story. But every woman that I speak with that has an understanding of the issues that women face, that's what we're here for. We are here, and we're not going anywhere. So, again, my final and closing remarks as we get ready to make a transition before the next portion of the show comes on for you guys, thank you so much for being who you are. But remember, support us at hashtag SheTalkRadio. My segment is hashtag ShopTalk. I am Taomi Ray, and I am your ShopTalk host. We thank you again for listening in to this segment of She Talk Radio, where we were talking about how single moms make it work.
Now it's time for the Indie Artist Spotlight with your host, The Lady Tuesday.
One thing in the air. If you know you blessed,
I'm counting all my blessings, counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings, I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings, I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings, I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings, I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings, I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings, I'm counting all my blessings, I'm counting all my blessings.
Amen, amen.
Hey, I'm Poker Jones and I'm blessed. Told the game I'm next. Home kicking with the bodybuilders, no Poker Jones on flex. I'm out here counting my blessings, cause you don't know when the next. My brother just did 15 years, he coming home. Bless
me.
My best friend tried to do me in and I seen it coming, then stress it. But I cut it off before he could. That's what you call a blessing. Everybody ain't your friend. Finding out is a blessing. Some folks try to use you up, they think you they blessing. Man, love people hard to find. Finding some is a blessing. They'll keep it real in your face, but behind your back they mess up. When Black died, I scarred my cross and I gave it to him the blessing. I told him, could no matter what, I'ma help the fam, not bless them.
I'm counting all my blessings. 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 I'm counting all my blessings.
You don't think life is a blessing, that mean we ain't on the same team.
Amen.
You ain't seen the things that I seen. I turned nightmares into dreams. We got put out the house, whole family. I thank God was just trying to test us, cause that made us strong and that brought us closer. That's what you call a blessing. I wasn't born with it, I had to get it. All the money was a blessing. Small money was a blessing,
okay.
But that tall money, blessing.
Amen.
My sister about to have surgery.
Dang.
I told her don't even worry.
Okay.
She told me I ain't even stressing.
Bless.
I'm counting all my blessings. I salute the suit to do what they do that ain't out here just flexing. Everybody ain't a hustler. Being one is a blessing. Dropped out of school in 11th grade. I told them I don't need no lesson. Before grandma died, she told me go on back. That's what you call a blessing.
I'm counting all my blessings. 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 I'm counting all my blessings.
Hey, I'm helping you, you ain't helping me. You better recognize your blessing.
Amen.
That's a true sentence with no period on it, no explanations or questions.
Okay.
And I put that on this gold watch, this gold ring in my necklace.
Yeah.
I'm money machine investing. I'm counting all my blessings. My uncle just stopped smoking dope. He need rehab testing.
Amen.
Now he getting money like a Mexican. That's what you call a blessing. I hate a job is the hate. I don't deal with them, they trash it. We ain't build the same, they pass it. I'm counting all these blessings. You blessed, you got family. They got your bag like Hanley. That's great to play till you have it. No matter what they standing. Ace attract the haters, they ain't worth nothing. I'm about riches, I want treasures. I'm Poker Jones and I'm focused on just counting all my blessings.
I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings.
Amen. Amen.
Hello, everybody. This is Ruby Johnson, the Lady Tuesday of She Talk Radio. And what you have just heard was Counting All My Blessings by Poker Jones. That's right. Poker Jones has the Indie Artist Spotlight today. Poker, welcome to the Indie Artist Spotlight segment of She Talk Radio. How are you today?
I'm blessed and I'm thankful to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right, so glad to have you here, and thank you for blessing us with that song. Why don't we start off by you telling me a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm originally from Georgia, raised here in Atlanta. Had a couple of troubles, a couple of run-ins. You know how it is being a misfit coming up as a child, and made a lot of bad choices and decisions. But the good thing about making bad choices and decisions, if you pay attention, you'll learn from them. So I dropped out of school in 11th grade, and my grandma was raising me at the time, so she was sick, and her last dream was for me to get my education. So I went back. I went back to school, got my education, because that's what she wanted me to do. But she also died in the process of me going to school. So without her pushing me and wanting better for me, I wouldn't have got my education. I fell back to the streets. I mean, all this is in my song. If you listen to the song, Counting All My Blessings, this is what I talk about with my grandma. When she passed, you know, before she died, she said, go back to school. And I looked at that as a blessing from God because I wouldn't have pushed myself at the time. But, you know, when a child don't have their parents, you know, you're going to kind of take a lot of detours in life that you don't supposed to go, a lot of roads that people going to lead you down that you don't supposed to go down. So I met a lot of bad people, made a lot of bad decisions, ended up facing time in prison, went to jail for drugs and just craziness. And that's when I discovered my passion for music. So when I got out, I started doing music and trying to be the best I could be at music. So the blessing in going to jail was actually finding my passion for music.
Fantastic. It's good that even though we go through some hard times, if we can look at it and take the good out of it, and we can take that and share it with other people, we're actually preventing them from taking that same road. So I think that what you're doing, taking your emotions and your experience and putting it into your music is fantastic. You know, my first time hearing your song was at the Music Business Empowerment Conference. And that song came out at the right time for me. And let me tell you why. We had been at that conference, as you know, for like four straight days. And I was exhausted. I was tired. And it was that Sunday, and I was moving kind of slow. Okay? But then all of a sudden, you came out with that song, and it woke me up. It totally woke me up. It's one of those songs that make you look at, you know, the world with, and you see the glass is half full as opposed to half empty. So you're looking on the positive side of life. And you know what? That's where you get your power from, where you get the strength from, looking at what you've gone through and that you made it through it, as opposed to, oh, man, look what I'm going through. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. So that's what I like about your song. There's a lot of other things I like about your song, too. It's so engaging. It involved the audience. Now, tell me, you know, most people think that a song that glorifies God only belongs in the church. But you've done something with this song that allows it
to cross over genres. What do you think? This may be a hard question, but I'm going to ask the questions anyway because that's what we do at She Talk. We ask the hard questions. What do you think you put into that song that allows it to be played anywhere pretty much?
Well, what I did before I actually wrote the song, I had to ask myself what a lot of artists should do before they just adopt somebody else's style. I asked myself, how did you want the world to see you? When you make this song or when you make these records, this is how people going to see you. So from a third person, I stepped out of myself and I looked at myself how somebody else would see me once I became this image. I said, okay, I'm going to write a song called Counting on My Blessings, but what am I put in it? And it was a real battle. I'm going to be honest with you. It was a real fight. Because I'm from the streets. I'm, you know, at the end of the day, we have an image to uphold. But me being old and me coming into my 30s now, I started looking at life and music and people around me in more of a, how can I say it, not a spiritual, not a religious, but a godly light. I had more respect for people. I got more respect for myself. So I didn't want to bring nothing out misleading. I just told my story. I put my passion, I put my stories, my life, and the whole time I was writing, I kept telling myself, because I erase so much. I write a song like a person that paint a picture. I make mistakes. I go back and I erase. I don't get high and drunk like a lot of artists say they do and go in the booth. No, I actually sit down and study my words. I write. You know, I only write when I have a thought. I only write when it comes to me, when God blessed me with a lyric. No matter where I'm at, I write it down then, and I paste it together like a picture. That's how I write my music in pieces. So every time I felt a story or every time I felt something that I went through that hit me the most in my heart, I say, yeah, I'm putting that right there in the song too. From my uncle getting off dope, from my grandma going through what she went through, from me having all my hardships, just everything. I put it all in one record, and I did that for the people. I wanted people to be like, it's okay to share who you are. Here's a funky beat that you could jam to or ride to or dance to or whatever. But at the same time, the message is for you and your life, and I hope it helps you, period, period.
Wow, wow. And, you know, that brings me to my next question. You know, there are so many rappers out there that are, you know, doing music that's putting women down. It's a lot of rappers. They're actually good at what they do, but they can't come onto the show because – this is an empowerment show for women.
Right.
So there's no way that we can allow anyone on the show who's going to put women down. So my question to you, which you may or may not answer because it's not really about you because you haven't taken that route. A lot of the rappers are taking the route to put women down. And then, unfortunately and surprising to me, there are a lot of people who are actually accepting this music. And in some cases, it's women. Why do you suppose people do that?
Well, actually, what's going on now is more of a follower situation. There's no artist that's currently out or coming out now that started that style. They are just imitating and mimicking what they see. I hear a lot of good writers. I run into a lot of great artists. And they are so good, and I won't even name any. I'm to my highly educated, college degrees and everything, never even been to jail. But they look at the situations that blacks are in. They look at the situation that the minorities are in, and they see money. I hate to say it, but it's profit in selling out your hood by talking about it and put it on a pedestal. It's money in that. It's a lot of money talking negative, and the young cats and the cats that's out see that and know that. But if you sit back and look at some of these artists and you look into their life personally, you're looking at college-educated people. You're looking at people with no jail records. So you have to ask yourself, what's really going on? It's more of a business, I hate to say it. It'll stop when the dollar stops. But at the end of the day, the people make all the decisions and make you who you are. So once the people start kind of not accepting certain things, it won't be any money there. But it's greed that has taken over the music industry, because if you go back and you look when music first started, it wasn't that much money in it. And artists live by certain codes. I wasn't alive back in the time, but in my grandmother's days, I remember looking at the interviews of every single great entertainer that ever came out. I don't care who they are. They always say they came out of the church. And I'm not trying to put the church on a pedestal because I'm not a religious person. I'm just saying these people came from God first. And once you come from God first, you're not just going to move or say anything, even when it comes to your business and your music, because you're going to, you know, you're going to keep God first. And I think that's what's lost in everything that's going on. And once again, I'm not a religious person. I'm just a realist, and I see what life is really about. And that's what we're going through right now in the black society with our music and us being misled by our own people. That is only greed, because if it wasn't money being made, these cats would really come out and they would talk about their pain and what they're really going through in real life, because we all know majority of them, 97% of them, is not living like that. This is business. A record deal is a loan. You have to make that money good. Yes. That's all it is. That's all it is. So at the end of the day, it's more of an image that that black society and the artists are caught up in. And hopefully it'll break one day and these cats become they self. Because just imagine if every artist wrote what they really felt and they talked about who they really were. We amongst the gods like we already are. We just don't recognize ourselves.
Yeah, I know. I think a lot of them, what they're doing is they're selling out with their music by pretending to be something that they're not, as opposed to being exactly who they are, and that's what we need in our society. But unfortunately, nobody's getting paid for doing that. You're getting paid for downing women. So
it's deeper than just us, too. It's deeper than just us. I mean, if you're going to do something, go all the way to the source. Like I say, I'm a realist, and I don't bite my tongue. If you really want to know the 100% truth about why it's like the way it is in our music and why the artist is being glorified as the one that talked the most negativity, is because of white supremacy. It's because of white supremacy. I'm going to keep it all the way real. If you go all the way to the core of music, if you go to the core of record deals, if you go to the core of record companies, you won't find a black face. You'll find people that don't even want nothing to do with black people. They only look at dollars. They don't care nothing about you. They just see money. And they don't care who they exploit. They don't care what they do. It's some very evil people that run this industry. Listen to Michael Jackson before he died. Listen to what he told you. He started naming people, and he started calling these people the devil themselves. Just imagine what he was going through. You know what I mean? It's a very bad thing. The higher you get in the music industry, you'll start to see some of these things. But you have to make a conscious decision of what type of message you want to put out. Do you want to be famous? Because we already know fame and money is two different things. Some of the richest entertainers,
right,
it is out, are not famous. You have to do and live and be a part of a certain society to be famous. You can be famous and not even be rich. So you have to ask yourself when you're an entertainer, do you want to be famous? Or do you want to be successful? But don't accept fame, because that's when you're doing the devil's work.
So
I think that's just what's going on with us. That's what's going on with us.
I'm so glad that we have rappers like you that are out there who's putting out a positive, uplifting message. And I am going to continue to, you know, bring you onto the show to give us some positive music, because, you know, sometimes you got to show people the way things ought to be done, and they'll know that there is another way of doing things as opposed to the way they've been doing. So, you know, if a listener wants to get a hold of you, how can they contact you? You are in social media, right?
Yeah, everywhere. I'm on everything you could type in on the computer. All my social networks are the same. I give that same advice to every artist. Polka Jones. That's advice for everybody. Make it easy for people to find you. Make all your social networks the same. Make all your contacts the same.
Yeah, they all got different numbers and stuff and different
names. Yeah, don't
do
that. That make it hard for people to find it.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
because that's how it's going to be in the future anyway. Your signature, your ID, and everything going to be like is your at. They're pretty much prepping you for the future anyway. So at Polka Jones is who I'll always be.
Polka Jones. He's Polka Jones everywhere, everybody. Twitter, Facebook. Do you have a website?
Yep, PolkaJones.com, and you can also hit me up at artistecard.com/PolkaJones. So Polka Jones everything. Just put that in your Google search and you see hard work in progress.
Polka Jones will come up. So do you have
ma'am.
Any upcoming performances or projects in the near future?
Yes, I do. I try to stay booked, not as much right now. I'm not accepting as many bookings because I got a newborn little girl at home. You know, she.
Okay, congratulations.
Yeah, Thank you very much. She turns 4 months old this weekend, so I have a lot going on. This next week is the Impact Awards, and it's a very big show. It's for people that's impacted in the neighborhood. It's just for people that's trying to empower and uplift each other. And they picked me in the record, so I'll be performing live and accepting my award.
All right, congratulations.
Yeah, Impact Award. And if anybody's available in the city and they want to be a part of it, any media, bloggers, or anybody that want to come have a good time and from some good, inspiring people, it'll be at the Ramada Hotel, downtown Atlanta. Hit up Mr. Michael Coleman all over the internet for tickets also, Mr. Michael Coleman.
All right. So, guys, that was Polka Jones with his single, Counting All My Blessings. Polka, thank you for joining us on She Talk Radio. We really enjoyed the conversation, and we enjoyed your song. Thanks, everybody,
thank
that
was
in the Artist Spotlight segment of She Talk Radio, where we give 15 minutes of fame to an independent artist every weekday at 6:30. Until next time, goodbye.
Peace.
This is Taomi Ray, your Shop Talk host, and I'd like to thank my guests and all the listeners. We've just completed yet another fabulous episode of She Talk, the radio show making a difference in communication. So get in on the conversation.